Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, listen, you remember the president, he was talking to us about safety, and this last presidential campaign was about, you know, ISIS that are attacking people around the earth, the bombs that are blowing up, 350,000 radical jihadist terrorists, according to Kamal from Qum Ministries.
450,000,
and that's an old number.
Mm-hmm.
The
MS-13.
MS-13 that's in every state, that gang. And it was like nobody was doing anything about it.
Not to mention drug cartels and everything.
Right. Yeah. And so today we're going to talk about sanctuary cities. Because grown folks, I mean, mayors and governors, some of them are saying we're going to violate the law and we're going to allow people who entered the country illegally, even if they committed a crime, to stay here. And we're not going to cooperate with the government. This is like a big ordeal. So the president... President Trump invited some officers, police officers, to the White House to have a listening session because he wants to get behind every department in the government that makes our citizens safe. We'll take a look.
My highest duty as president is the security of our people, the security of our nation. That is why I've already taken numerous actions to enhance domestic security, including the creation of task force on reducing violent crime, an interagency task force to dismantle criminal cartels, along with historic actions to secure our borders and remove criminals from our country. We're removing MS-13. We're removing criminals all over the country. They're getting out. We're taking them out. And for that, I thank you folks. I know you're in strict coordination with General Kelly and the Border Patrol and ICE, and you've been doing a fantastic job. As president, I will work night and day to make America safe again.
To make America safe again. It's like the people of America just said, we need somebody who is going to seal our borders up and allow people to come to the country legally, but somebody that we actually know. Sort of like your house.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody that's talking has an opinion on this. They pretty much have a door on their house and they lock it at night and they determine who's going to come through or not. For some reason, some people are not wanting a door on our country. You know, the door, you can use the door, but you want to ask who's actually coming in first.
That's right.
Well, you know, as I was abiding with the Lord and to just focusing on Him, He begins to speak to me about sanctuary cities. As a matter of fact, look at this map right here. There is sanctuary cities. These are cities that reportedly declared that they are going to take illegal aliens, people who came to this country who are not a citizen of this country, and put them in their cities and not cooperate with anybody else, the government, federal government, and tell them that they're ICE, you know, in regards to immigration and. And so they're literally just openly saying that. Look at that. It's all over America.
Wow.
And so they're calling them sanctuary cities. And so, of course, the things that you're hearing on throughout media and things that are going on, you can pull that image down, is the fact is that everybody's talking about, like, it's part of our language, sanctuary cities. And so I was, you know, as I was spending time with God, God began to speak to me through His Word. And in Joshua chapter 20, the book of Joshua, he talks specifically about this. Think about this. Remember when Israel, God's chosen folks, are coming through the wilderness and they're being taken to the promised land and, you know, all the things they had to go through to be able to do that. Well, remember how when they were coming in and Joshua was taking them, Moses stayed in the wilderness and they're bringing them in, they begin to divide the land up like lots and plots and that type of thing. But why God began to sanction off the land, different areas to give to different tribes of Israel, families, at the very same time, John, think about this, the very same time God created sanctuary cities. So God is into sanctuary cities.
Amazing.
I want, if you're listening, if you're watching, hold on a moment. We got to find out why God's doing it. But, and the question we want to ask ourselves, and we're totally open to this question, but we know what we found out is, well, are sanctuary cities right? Is the right thing to do? I mean, you got man's laws and man's things, but what does God
say,
about sanctuary cities? And I was so surprised to find out, John, the very first thing God does when he starts dealing out the promised land to Israel, he began to say, but you need to set up a sanctuary city. Hmm. But the question is,
this is in the Bible. Sanctuary cities in the Bible.
Yeah, like real estate 101 and plots and lots and, you know, all those descriptions of land, you know. But he said, but there needs to be sanctuary cities. And I want you, don't get excited yet, get upset. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense about what God says. John, we're going to read from Joshua chapter 20. And this is when Joshua just came in and he's dealing the land out according to the tribe and the size. But let's just see what happened during that land distribution.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses.
Hold on, wait a minute. So God instructed Moses to tell everyone, you got to have sanctuary cities. Mm. So right now we know, talking about sanctuary cities, let's put that image up again. You're looking here. You know, the question we want to ask ourselves is, are these sanctuary cities? So maybe imagine America being the promised land, right? Mm. And so they are beginning to distribute the land. And so you got sanctuary city set up. You got sanctuary city set up. So, but let's read a little bit further down. You can pull that back down, but it's the same thing in the context of verbiage. But what does it mean? Okay.
So that anyone.
So this is the reason why they
this
have
is the reason
a sanctuary
why.
City.
So that anyone who kills a person accidentally.
No, somebody kills someone.
Kills someone.
Which means that a possible crime maybe has been committed or hasn't been committed, but they don't necessarily know yet.
Right.
Okay.
So that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood.
So this is important. So sanctuary cities are a place that you can run to, because even if it was an accident, some people get very angry.
Oh, yeah.
And accidents happen. That's what they call car accidents and different things taking place. But I think what's interesting is that God has given us a free will, and he's showing us how our free will is here, that we can make decisions that harm folks, but it won't necessarily be intentional. You know, we can make a mistake. We can have an accident. You know, accidents happen all the time. But God provided cities of refuge so that person can actually get through that season of their life. So it's sounding, I don't know. So let's keep reading
it. When they flee to one of these cities,
that's happening right now. People, they're advertising sanctuary cities and people are running to the cities. Mm. Okay. But the thing too, it was a person who didn't commit a crime.
Right.
It was an accident. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So when they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of that city.
Well, that's important, because then sanctuary cities had judges, and the gates are the government. And so they had to come into that city, and the government had to cooperate with its citizens that are coming there. And so there needs to be judges. So I hear reports right now that our president, President Trump, has set up judges with Homeland Security on the border to make sure everyone gets justice in regards to, you know, to hear their case. What happened? Something may have happened. So a sanctuary city then has gates, has government, and has a place where you present your case. Now, what's been happening is they have been coming in illegally. They go to the court immediately, and they give them a court date, and then they just let them go. Catch and release, they call it. You know, which sounds almost...
OTM, other than Mexican, right?
When they no, it's everybody.
Okay.
It's everybody, you know. And that... So that's not what you're... not. Catch and release wouldn't be it. It would be like, stay here at the gates and present your case. Hmm. And so you're creating courts right now to just be dedicated to, we need to hear your case. You know, what's going on? Why did you flee? Why are you here? Okay.
Then the elders are to admit the fugitive into their city and provide a place to live among them. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive, because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice and aforethought.
Well, this is important. So then when you see sanctuary cities, they're protecting the immigrant that's in their city. That would be a right thing in the eyes of God if, in fact, there was no crime committed. But the thing about it's not the fact that somebody's an alien. It's the fact that they're illegal immigrant. You broke the law. So if you present your case at the gates in the government of the city, then you would say, I committed a crime.
Some people don't realize it. Yeah. It's illegal.
Yeah, it's called illegal
country. That's why it's an illegal immigrant because you came here not following the proper laws of the United States to enter the country. You can come, but you got to come the correct way.
Yeah, and so in the context of that is that, well, you shouldn't just catch and release, give a court date and release. It's like, let's present your case. And some people have a legitimate reason for being here, the persecution, something's going on, and they can hear the case right then and there.
Yeah.
But if you just get a court date and take off, that wouldn't be defined as a biblical sanctuary city. Mm-hmm. And so you actually need to be able to listen. And so the local governments reportedly are not even cooperating with the federal government, and they're just choosing not to enforce federal law, which is a violation of the Constitution, what's going on, right?
That's right.
What else?
They are to stay in that city until they have stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own home in their town from the city from which they fled. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing...
That's important. So any Israelites and any foreigner. So what we'd say today is like any citizen of America and any immigrant in America, people living amongst us. Say
right.
again.
Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the Avenger of Blood prior to standing trial before the assembly.
Prior to standing trial. So the court system is very important in how this works. And so we want to be able to pray for wisdom to be able to make sure that everybody gets justice because they may need to be here. Mm. But the sanctuary city is not what's being done, is not a biblical, because a lot of times people are using what God's word, but they're not really using it. They're just kind of manipulating folks with it. But so sanctuary cities are of God, but it's for folks that didn't break the law. It's ones that didn't break the law. And so when we get back from this break, we're going to break this thing down a little bit and begin to look at America and what's taking place, because this is going to be a big deal. The president just signed an executive order to be able to defund basically sanctuary cities. And one of the federal judges, I believe it was, struck it down, and it's on pause. And it's like, you know, the things that are happening, it's like you got to have a righteous judge. I mean, you got to have judges that are fulfilling. When you're a federal judge and you're a judge, you raise your hand and you swear that you'll protect and defend and represent the Constitution of the United States. So it needs to be checked out in the Constitution. That's why I really appreciate this new Supreme Court justice. He's known for his constitutional correctness. His name is
Neil Gorsuch.
Neil Gorsuch, a constitutionalist, and that's so important.
We'll be right back.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
Whoever owns the narrative owns the culture, and whoever owns the culture empowers the ideology.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome
I'm telling you, these are some amazing days, isn't it, John?
Yes, we're getting close to the end here.
It really is. And there's going to be a millennial reign, 1,000 years, mm-hmm. but the church is going to be taken away at some particular point. And I read somewhere in Thessalonica, it talks about the last trumpet sounds and that there's seven trumpets talked about in the book of Revelation.
Yes.
So we're going to be around for a little bit.
Thessalonians.
Thessalonians, yeah. And so you think about that, you think, this is happening right here. It's happening in our very own eyes right now.
Yes.
It's happening right this moment.
And most people don't even know what's happening.
Yeah. And it's like, but we're going to talk about it right now. This, as a matter of fact, this is another thing. That was the global government summit taking place in Dubai. But they're talking about, and they continue to interview, this is the government interview, governments of the world interviewing Elon Musk, who just came from China.
And who's the founder of SpaceX, who wants to explore Mars.
He wants to actually put a colony on Mars. But now they're talking about massive unemployment taking place because of technology taking people's place. Let's join Elon now at the summit.
I think maybe these things do play into each other a little bit. But what to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. And I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we're going to have a choice.
Universal basic income.
Universal basic income. I think it's going to be necessary.
So it means that unemployed people will be paid across the globe.
Yeah.
Because there is no job. Machine robot is taking over.
There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better.
Okay.
That's simply the, and I want to be clear that these are not things that I think that I wish would happen. These are simply things that I think probably will happen. And if my assessment is correct and they probably will happen, then we need to say, what are we going to do about it? And I think some kind of a universal basic income is going to be necessary. Now, the output of goods and services will be extremely high. So with automation, there will come abundance. There will be almost everything will get very cheap.
This is amazing. Think about it. Global unemployment, massive unemployment's coming. He said there's no job that robots and computers can't do better. And he's not. This is Elon, who's all about probabilities.
Yes.
And he's saying that that this is not something I wish is going to happen. This is something that probably is definitely
going to happen.
I'm using the word definitely, but when he's preparing like this and putting everything forward, yeah. including investing $1 billion in organizations to try to prevent AI, this is something else that this man said. Elon Musk made this statement. He said traditional artificial intelligence, and that's what we're talking about today, is computers and that type of thing, being pursued as it is now is like summoning a demon. Mm. I mean, that man just said that. And so he's trying to break it up because you have one or two companies that are controlling.
Yeah.
You know, you have Google and DeepThink and a couple, Apple probably, that have these companies right here. But we're in a major, major.
Energizing is the word today on Minute with Maxwell Hyatt. My name is John David Palmer from Federal Way, Washington, who is in the Blood Center Donor Scheduling Coordinator. My goodness, what a wonderful thing that you do if you're helping people donate their blood. And boy, my wife does that continually. My father-in-law, I think, he was very consistent in it. But the word is energizing. Well, you know, David, as well as I do, you got to have good blood to have energy. And energizing is not only energy, but it's an energy with a spirit and an attitude that's contagious. It's possible to have energy and not be energizing. It's possible for me to have energy to get through my day. But if I'm energizing, not only do I have energy to get through my day, I'm contagious with others. I have that spark of enthusiasm that when I come into contact with you or anyone else, it rubs off to you. Until when I'm with an energizing person, guess what? Their energy spills off on me. What a wonderful thing to let your energy be contagious to such a degree that when you leave people, they're energized by what you did, by what you said, by what you thought, by the experience that they had with you. Wow, I hope today you take action on that. determined not only to get through your day with energy, determined to get through your day energizing others. That's a gift that could keep on going.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Artificial intelligence and robots, we're actually talking about robot systems that are intelligent. They're learning at an increased rapid speed. Some of the technology now, it's going to look very appealing because they're going to have, instead of a human being on the front lines of a battlefield, they're actually going to have a mechanic robot soldier.
Right.
And so some of these things may have some appeal to us, but in the end, what's going to happen?
And they're talking about a universal pay going out. And this is some of the things that the candidate Hillary Clinton, when she was running, some of the things she alluded to, some of the things that Vice President Biden, who was vice president in the previous administration, he says, go learn how to play the guitar, and this is what he was talking there, kind of get us into the system. And we have a mercy stop. This is a mercy stop. What's taking place right now. You know, I believe it's because of what America has to do with Israel, how we can help Israel. So we need to really pay attention because the world's going in. As a matter of fact, we're talking about a Barcelona, Spain, Barcelona,
yes,
where they had a meeting with the mobile phone technology companies, leaders, and the mobile phone is what they're using to be able to build this global brain-like stuff. So the big thing that you know, he's talking about replacing employment and how many young people today, if you told them they did not, I'm talking about 30 and below.
Oh, yeah.
That you didn't have to work, but we would just pay you so you can play your games, the digital games, and be in the virtual land and do this kind of stuff. It'd be a very high percentage that would say we need to do that. But Elon said, which is very important, and I really appreciate his honesty in this, he says, but our concern is how will they find their value? How will their intrinsic value is found from work?
Right.
It's found from work. And that reminds me of Ecclesiastes 2:24, John. You know, you can read that to us right there if you want to, but it's God designed it. It's a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their work and toil, or their toil. Mm-hmm. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. So when you see somebody replacing your work, for example, if your parents aren't telling you, you need to go out and cut some yards, or them, you know, I'm sorry. But personal, but they're telling you to go out and get a job. They're taking away what God's designed you to find value and worth in that.
Being empowered
by that, because it's good. It's designed from God. You're such an intelligent human being, how God's created you, creation, that you have to be busy creating your things the way that.
And God's produces has made us to produce fruits and live a productive, fruitful life. It's all part of it.
You know, and men, you know, men and women, they feel. You feel if most men, when they lose their job, they're fighting for their identity back, and they have to restructure themselves. And imagine a mass unemployment taking place. And that's why, according to Glenn Beck on The Blaze, they were talking about that Silicon Valley said to them, their biggest concerns is that the reaction of this massive unemployment, that people start heading to Silicon Valley with pitchforks and some other device. I don't know what he said.
Can you imagine millions of people being
idle? We don't condone that,
doing nothing? No, we don't.
No.
Can you imagine this idleness will be, you know, rampant?
Well, I can do to that 30 and below. I can see a lot of that happening now in regards to, well, that's where socialism comes in, and which is a distribution of resources, and communism.
Yeah.
But they're talking world government, John. World government. The first thing I said when we launched our internship program here at VFN TV, I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet thought about being an intern, think about being in television. I mean, not just every now and then, but every single day. You can be a part of this program and learning how to use those tools. And this is the communication techniques for the future. We're finding out for a little bit. So you can join the internship by going to vfntv.com, go to the contacts, and just let us know. It tells you how to do that. But they're saying very specifically, the first thing I said to our interns was that your generation, you're going to have to understand the difference between man and machine, because they're going to merge them together. Mm. This is part of a recorded prophecy I'm telling these guys. And ladies, and so it's here. They're called cyborgs when you merge technology together. Listen to what Elon Musk talks about, cyborgs.
I mean, I do think that there's a potential path here, which is, and we're really getting into science fiction or create, you know, sort of advanced science stuff, but having some sort of merger with biological intelligence and machine intelligence, to some degree, we are already a cyborg. You think of like the digital tools that you have, your phone, your computer, the applications that you have, like the fact that, as I was mentioning earlier, you can ask a question and instantly get an answer from Google or, you know, from other things. And so you already have a digital tertiary layer. I say tertiary because you can think of the limbic system, kind of the animal brain or the primal brain, and then the cortex, kind of the thinking, planning part of the brain, and then your digital self as a third layer. So you already have that, and it's like if somebody dies, their digital ghost is still around. You know, all of their emails and the pictures that they posted and the social media, that still lives, even if they if they died. So over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. And it's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and your digital, the digital extension of yourself, particularly output. Like when, and output, if anything, is getting worse. You know, we used to have like keyboards that we'd use a lot. Now we do most of our input through our thumbs on a phone. And that's just very slow. A computer can communicate at a trillion bits per second, but your thumb can maybe do, I don't know, 10 bits per second or 100 if you're being generous. So some high bandwidth interface to the brain, I think, will be something that helps achieve a symbiosis and between human and machine intelligence, and maybe solves the control problem and the usefulness problem.
So he's talking about the problem is we're just too slow because our thumbs, because you used to type with all your fingers.
Yes.
I remember my dad typing years ago. He's going like boom, boom, boom. I'm like, Dad. And now here we are. The whole world's typing with two thumbs. And he says, we're like 10 bits a second. We can do 10 bits a second. I'm sure the younger people can do more than that, right?
Sure.
But the computer can do a trillion bits per second. A trillion.
Amazing.
And so you have Ray Kurzweil talking about he's already working on a cortex, which is that part of the brain, how to grow biological tissue with the processor of a chip together, and so they can communicate to each other.
So you can connect the brain actually to the internet, right?
So yeah, and so you would search Google like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you think it.
Well, think about Google Glass with the glasses and all
that.
Well,
this is like Google in your head.
Oh, yes. It's beyond that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.